From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Our next system rolls in tonight, and it's starting as snow back to our west, but I'll show you why it will likely end up as rain for our viewing area.
More than 11,000 people in East Durham are without power this afternoon. Coming up, why it's taking so long to get the lights back on.
And President Biden came close to winning North Carolina in the 2020 election. Right now, he's headed to Raleigh, hoping the November election swings in his favor. Those clouds will increase this afternoon as the next system approaches. Tonight, we'll see light showers across our area. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at why we're not expecting any frozen precipitation.
When you take a look at the satellite and radar, you can see a lot of snow that's developed back here across parts of the Midwest, moving into Kentucky and Tennessee. From Memphis southward, you can see it's a wintry mix. So you may expect, as this moves across the mountains and into North Carolina, that we would have the potential for seeing something frozen. It's been really cold lately, but this just seems to always be the way things go around here. It's really hard to get the temperatures and the precipitation to line up just right for us to get any snow. So let's walk through it. This afternoon, we will see increasing clouds. There's 5 o'clock. And then here comes a band of rain. We're going to see that between 6 and around 7 or 8 o'clock, a very light band of showers that comes through. Temperatures will be above freezing, so it's all green. And then we'll stop it here at midnight, and you can see back into the mountains, a wintry mix up into Virginia, some snow in the blue. But watch what happens as that rain moves into our area. Here's 3 a.m. And you can see another round of showers. And all the frozen precipitation stays just to our north. We're going to see too much warmth surging in with the system from the south, and it's just not going to allow us to see any frozen precipitation. It wouldn't be completely out of the question as that moves on out for there to be maybe a quick flurry or a little bit of sleet up around Roxboro or South Hill, but the models have really kind of given up on, you know, any of that really happening. It might, but it certainly doesn't look likely. So this evening, again, between 7 and 10, we'll have a quick shower and then a little better chance of some scattered rain in the early morning hours. Our temperatures will stay above freezing. Once this moves out, we're back to another Arctic blast. I'll show you some potential single-digit wind chills for the weekend coming up.
It could be at least 6 more hours before thousands of Duke Energy customers have power. The company says the outage is due to equipment issues at a substation that happened during maintenance. WRAL's Shelley Jackson is live in Durham with an update on those repairs. Shelley.
Well, Jeff, restoration crews are out here on scene. They've been working overnight all morning to get that power back on. Right now, they're aiming for 6 o'clock tonight. It's going to be a slow process, though, because these power lines have been without power for 24 hours, and crews have to be very deliberate about how they restore power to the lines. One thing in their favor today, though, is it is a little warmer, so Duke may be able to switch customers to other lines to restore electricity for some users. Now, this outage happened yesterday around 2 o'clock. Crews are making some routine grid improvements and reliability upgrades when there was an equipment failure. That wiped out power to 11,500 people yesterday. Duke was able to switch some of those customers, about 3,500, without power to other lines overnight. But this morning, when the demand went up between 6 and 9, they had to go back and they lost their power.
Certainly, it's not the experience that we wanted to deliver as a utility on a cold day, and we understand the frustration of customers that are without power. We share that frustration. Our crews worked throughout the night in the hopes that we could get everybody back up by midnight, but once we were able to see the full scope of damage, we realized it was going to take more time, and that's the result in the extensions of estimates of restoration.
Now, Duke says they are going to bring in some specialists to help the existing crews, as well as some special equipment to help with the restoration. Jeff?
It's been almost 24 hours now and stretched over 2 days. Shelley Jackson, live for us in Durham. Thank you.
At this hour, President Joe Biden is headed to North Carolina. He is bringing his economic pitch to the Triangle. Biden's team and Democratic strategists believe they have a chance to flip the state blue for the first time in 16 years. WRAL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live in North Raleigh, where the president is expected to tout his economic plan this afternoon. Hi, Laura.
Renee, hey, we're here at the Abbots Creek Community Center up in North Raleigh, where the President Joe Biden is expected to speak around 2:30 this afternoon. You can see the crowd and the media, of course, already here in place. Biden expected to announce a federal investment of $82 million to pay for broadband expansion to about 16,000 more homes in this state, and also to help cover part of the bill for low-income households. This visit is part of a bigger campaign push to highlight the economic recovery that Biden claims his policies are responsible for, while the GOP is busy hitting Biden on inflation. We asked economist Mike Walden whether the economy has recovered. He says in many senses it has. It's been growing since the middle of 2020.
We've seen job totals now surpass pre-pandemic.
Later today, the Justice Department is expected to release the findings of its investigation into the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas.
19 students and two teachers were killed in the attack at Robb Elementary School in 2022. Ken Delanian is there with a preview of what's in that report.
This morning, a community still in search of truth and accountability. More than a year after a teenager with an assault-style rifle opened fire inside a Texas elementary school, taking the lives of 19 children and two adults. Later today, Attorney General Merrick Garland will deliver the results of an exhaustive Justice Department investigation into one of the nation's worst school shootings. A source briefed on the nearly 600-page report telling NBC News it includes disturbing new details. Among them, authorities relaying incorrect information to some parents in the aftermath of the shooting about whether their children had survived or been killed. According to the source, the report will also detail the failures of medical first responders, police, and government officials. All of it building on a scathing investigation by state lawmakers that found systemic failures and egregiously poor decision-making among the nearly 400 law enforcement officers who responded. Police body cam footage from the shooting shows officers milling about in the hallways and mistaking a door where the killer was for being locked.
We're having a problem getting in the room because it's locked.
More than an hour passing before officers confronted and stopped the shooter. During that time, children called 911 begging for help. One of those exchanges revealed in a Frontline documentary on PBS. Jacob Alvarado, an off-duty Border Patrol agent, telling Savannah he rushed to the school where his daughter was a second grader, his wife a teacher, who texted him about the shooter. Both of them survived.
I could just see kids coming out of the windows and kids coming my way, so I was just helping all the kids out.
Among those who didn't make it out, 9-year-old Jacqueline Cesaris, one of the youngest victims.
You don't ever get over a loss like this, I mean.
Never, especially this type of loss. It's unbearable. You know, people tend to say, get over it, go on. How can you? That's your child.
That's Ken Delaney reporting. New details as well about a disturbing murder-suicide in Texas. Deputies say three adults and an 8-year-old child were shot and killed early Saturday morning. The gunman then turned the gun on himself. When investigators arrived, they found two surviving children and their grandmother hiding from the shooter. Deputies say the tragedy began when the man's ex-wife told him she didn't want to get back together.
And now to that deadly winter weather affecting the nation. There have now been 31 confirmed deaths related to weather in the past week, all while brutal conditions affect travel on the roads and in the air. Emily Aketa has the latest.
This morning, another powerful and dangerous winter storm is on the move. Bitter cold from coast to coast.
Oh,
66 million people are under winter weather alerts. Those brutal conditions impacting air travel nationwide, with more than 5,000 flight delays and 1,100 cancellations Wednesday.
Every hour, they would just say, oh, delay, delay, delay.
State police say five family members were struck and killed by a tractor trailer on a snowy Pennsylvania interstate after they left their vehicles following a separate crash. In hard-hit Buffalo, even more lake-effect snow is expected on top of the 3-plus feet that has buried the city in recent days. Driving conditions overnight, treacherous. With authorities warning, clearing this amount of snow can be dangerous.
If you have a heart condition,
You should avoid snow shoveling and even snow blowing.
In the West, the weather closing roads and sending drivers sliding. And with more than half of the country now covered in snow for the first time this winter, in Illinois, wind chills dipped as low as 40 below. Tow truck drivers like David Burtz wearing special gear to work in freezing conditions.
Oh, definitely. With the actual temperatures, this prevent any frostbite on our face.
That was Emily Aketa reporting. The town of Bolton, Mississippi is frozen over, and it's not because of a snowstorm. It's because of this water storage tower. Residents say water started flowing out of the tank on Monday, and thanks to sub-freezing temperatures, everything below the tower is now encased in ice. The town certified water operator says a sensor that sends a signal to the well above the about the tank level froze, which led to the tank continuing to fill. Officials turned off the well yesterday to stop the flow of water, but they may have to use a heater to thaw out the sensor.
Looks pretty, but it's a mess for certain and dangerous also. You don't want to be losing your water in the middle of winter.
Of course not. And little by little, we're starting to thaw out as the sunshine comes out. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with our next Arctic blast.
Yeah, so we're going to have another 24 hours, and then we get hit by that next Arctic blast. We take a look at Southern Pines, and it looks like their crew's out working, but I don't see anybody braving the temperatures. We are going to see a high, though, around 50 degrees this afternoon. So if you were itching to get out, this afternoon might be more comfortable than any afternoons that we have in our forecast until maybe next Tuesday. 48 is the current temperature. Our dew point is 15. And so that means our air mass is very dry. We're aiming for 50 degrees this afternoon, but it is becoming a little breezier out there. Right now it's 43 in Roxborough, 46 in Rocky Mount, 45 in Southern Pines, and 47 in Fayetteville. And look at our 24-hour temperature change. It's huge. Anywhere from about 15 to 17 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. That's a big, big change. So again, feeling a little more comfortable today. 50 in Raleigh, 48 Durham, 53 in Fayetteville for our afternoon highs. Let's talk a little bit more about the rain that arrives overnight tonight. As we get into the afternoon, we'll start to see the clouds lifting from the south and moving in from the west. And you can see the mountains getting snow by 5 o'clock. But as it moves eastward, it's just going to be too warm. We're going to see a flow of moisture coming in. That flow from the south, of course, will bring the warmer temperatures. Notice it's all rain there at 8 o'clock as this little band moves on through. You take a look at midnight. Again, back to the north and west. There's some wintry precipitation across the mountains and even just to our north. But it just doesn't look like we're going to see it in our viewing area. See a few isolated showers. That's all out of here by the time we get to the morning commute, which is great news. And then we'll continue to see skies clearing. Our forecast overnight tonight does show 31 in Roxborough, 32 Clarksville and South Hill, and 31 in Roanoke Rapids. So there are a few spots where it's possible that we could see maybe a brief wintry mix. But even the places showing up at 32 overnight tonight are just not likely to see anything that's going to, you know, cause any impact, certainly. Looking at 37 Fayetteville, 36 in Irwin, and 35 in Smithfield. Tomorrow, it's going to really become windy again. Temperatures will be close to 50, but we're going to see our winds steady out of the northwest tomorrow at 16 and gusting 25 to 35. So we're going to get back into the wind chill for tomorrow afternoon. We're looking at temperatures below normal, but just below normal. We get into Saturday and Sunday, and here comes that next Arctic blast. You can see the purple shaded area. That's where our temperatures are well below normal. That's with a Saturday and Sunday. And then we'll actually see a much longer term warm up starting the early part of next week. Our normal low is 32. We're looking at 35 in the triangle. But then Saturday morning, 22, 18 Sunday morning, 21 on Monday morning. So really cold temperatures coming. Saturday's wind chill in the morning could be as low as 11. And Sunday morning, it could feel like 8 degrees out there. We take a look at our temperatures. Pretty dramatic from 52 on Friday to 35 on Saturday, 41 on Sunday. And then we see our temperatures climbing a bit. Look at that. We're back into the 60s. We have 60s in the 7-day forecast, but it also looks like we may see a little bit of rain on Wednesday.
Riding the roller coaster in January, Elizabeth. TV's longest running crime drama celebrates its 25th anniversary. How the crew of NBC's Law & Order SVU are approaching the new season.
And you might want to think twice before you stop to take pictures at some Las Vegas locations where pictures are banned and the punishment you could face if you're caught.
3M has started sending payments as part of its $6 billion settlement to resolve lawsuits over faulty combat earplugs. The class action lawsuit followed a WRL investigation. The air plugs were used by the U.S. military in training and combat from 2003 to 2015. Veterans accused 3M of selling defective earplugs that caused hearing loss and tinnitus. Payouts to veterans and service members are expected to be complete by the end of the month. It's unclear how much money each person will receive. The man known as Joe Exotic from the 2020 Netflix docuseries Tiger King is seeking a new trial in his wildlife trafficking case. Lawyers for Joseph Maldonado Passage claim that the outcome would have been different if his trial attorney properly investigated the facts of the case. Joe Exotic is currently serving a 21-year sentence for a murder-for-hire plot and for violation of selling endangered tigers.
After a long wait, NBC will run premieres of all three Law & Order shows tonight. SUV hits a milestone, entering its 25th season. Mark Barger spoke to the stars at a red carpet event this week in New York.
Olivia Benson.
Elliot Stabler.
What started in the fall of 1999?
25 years. It's a big deal.
Was a cause for celebration Tuesday night in New York City.
It's amazing to be a part of this history.
Cast members, past and present, gather to honor Law & Order SVU's 25th season, which begins tonight.
Seeing Michelle Hurd and Chris and Isabel and all these people, especially from the beginning, is such a gift because they're right there and it's tangible.
Already TV's longest-running scripted drama, it's filmed more than 500 episodes.
It feels so natural now when I go to work, but when I step back and I think about it, it completely blows my mind. I can't believe it.
The show's impact was felt early on.
I started getting a different kind of fan mail with women and men disclosing their stories of abuse.
It was important to them. It was a need for them.
And while producer Dick Wolf's creation has seen plenty of change,
people really enjoy the show as much, if not more, than when we started.
The one constant has been Mariska Hargitay as Captain Olivia Benson.
It's absolutely crazy. Mariska's turning 60 this year. I cannot wait to celebrate her in any form or fashion. I'm so happy to be her friend.
I just want to be just like Mariska when I grow up.
A shining legacy for an actress and her show.
I feel very privileged.
Mark Barger, NBC News.
And SVU, did I say SUV? SVU and all the Law & Order shows have their season premieres tonight, starting with the original at 8 p.m.
It's all right, Jeff. SUV will be the spinoff. President Biden brings his reelection campaign to the Triangle today. You're looking live at RDU International Airport, where WRL's Matt Tallhelm is standing by for his arrival.
Also, it's a race against time at the U.S. Capitol as Congress scrambles to come up with funding to keep the government running. And here is a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Welcome back. We're expecting President Biden to arrive at RDU in about 30 minutes.
And WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is there live, standing by for Air Force One to touch down here in the Triangle. Matt.
Yeah, Jeff and Renee, just within about the last 10, 12 minutes or so, the president took off. He is in air on his way here to RDU. Before Air Force One's arrival, though, the motorcade lining up here, I want to show you what you can see back here. More than two dozen vehicles in this presidential motorcade that will make its way through the Triangle here, including in the center there, one of two big Cadillac SUVs. They're known as the Beast, because they are so massive. That's the car that the president will ride in when he arrives here to his destination here in Raleigh as the Air Force One is in the air. I want to show you some video. We just got in to the WRL newsroom within the last 12 minutes. The president boarded Air Force One at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland. It is about an hour-long flight, a little less than that, down here to RDU, especially on Air Force One, which can fly and clear through the air there. The president is coming here to talk about the economy and to announce a new investment in expanding broadband internet access, as we heard from Laura Leslie. That speech is scheduled for around 2:30 party this afternoon at Abbots Creek Community Center in North Raleigh. Now, back out here live, you can see this is one of the runways here, the tarmac here, right outside of Terminal 2 on that side of the airport. This has all been cleared. We saw a government helicopter fly along here, making sure that the runway is clear for Air Force One's arrival. There, you can actually see that helicopter is up in the air here. They go through sweeping this, making sure that no one is in the way of Air Force One when it flies in here this afternoon. In about 30 minutes or so, we are expecting the president to arrive here. They will pull Air Force One up right in front of us here. The president, of course, will then get off the plane, walk down those stairs, and get into that motorcade we saw here just a second ago. This is actually the president's second visit to the Triangle in a year, less than a year. I was actually out here at RDU back in March of last year when the president came to visit Wolfspeed, the semiconductor chip manufacturer, talking about the CHIPS Act and investments in that. We do expect Governor Roy Cooper will be here to greet the president at RDU. Of course, count on WRAL. We will continue to bring you updates here from the president's visit.
And certainly be ready for some of that traffic for folks there in and around the airport and also headed over towards North Raleigh. Matt Talhelm at RDU. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're talking about those impending traffic delays later on when President Biden does get here. This is a map of exactly what where he's going to be. He's going to be at Abbots Creek Community Center, which is in between Capitol Boulevard and Falls of Neuse Road. Drivers using I-540 east of RDU, as well as Falls of Neuse Road and Durant Road here, which is the road that Abbots Creek Community Center is on, they can expect road closures and delays when the president gets here. They say the secondary roads with shopping center entrances and exits, they can also be impacted. So if you are in that area today when the president gets here at 1 o'clock, you can expect those delays.
All right, Michelle, thanks for those specifics. The president will discuss the economy, jobs created during his tenure, and his Investing in America agenda this afternoon at Abbots Creek Community Center. WRL's Matt Talhelm and Laura Leslie will have complete coverage beginning at 4 p.m.
The New Hampshire primary is just 5 days away. Former President Donald Trump is ramping up his attacks on Nikki Haley, his former UN ambassador. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis is turning his focus to South Carolina. NBC's Garrett Haig is covering the campaign from Manchester, New Hampshire.
I'm thrilled to be back in the great state of New Hampshire.
Overnight, Donald Trump escalating his attacks on Nikki Haley, hammering away at his closest competitor here ahead of New Hampshire's Tuesday primary.
A vote for Nikki Haley this Tuesday is a vote for Joe Biden and a Democrat Congress this November.
Trying to drive a wedge between Haley and the state's Republican voters.
The people behind Nikki Haley are pro-amnesty, they're pro-China, they're pro-open borders. You know, she wants open borders, don't kid yourself.
The broadsides from the former president coming as two new polls show Haley in a clear but distant second place here.
Now, I know Trump threw a temper tantrum about me last night.
The former South Carolina governor urging New Hampshire voters to tune out Trump's tirades and what she says are his lies about her record.
Regardless of what Trump says, I passed the toughest illegal immigration law in the country when I was governor.
The field for the key primary narrowing, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis switching focus to the next state, South Carolina, Haley's home. After finishing a distant second place in Iowa, DeSantis trying to attack his rivals for refusing to debate.
I think it's very telling that you have three basement campaigns, Biden, Haley, and Trump.
The campaign shakeups coming as Mr. Trump spent most of his day in court, attending a second defamation case against him brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. The former president sparring with the judge, who threatened to have him removed from court for talking with his attorney too loudly during testimony, complaining afterwards.
And he's a nasty judge. He's a Trump-hating guy.
A separate jury found Mr. Trump liable for defaming and sexually abusing Carroll, which he has repeatedly denied.
That was NBC's Garrett Hick reporting. Tomorrow is the last day of funding for segments of the federal government. That's unless lawmakers can prevent a partial government shutdown. It would affect military, construction, veterans, transportation, the Energy Department, and more. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate should be able to vote on and pass a stopgap measure today. But the sticking point is that Republicans in the House want to address immigration.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, one person is hurt after a building explosion in Washington, D.C. The explosion happened on the second floor of a building. Fire crews say the extensive to that the damage is extensive to that building. But there was a gas leak in the area, so that caused firefighters to evacuate the surrounding areas. The building adjacent to where the explosion happened was a daycare. There were 16 children inside that daycare, but they were all evacuated in time. Thank goodness that one person that was injured was hurt by flying debris.
Michelle, thanks. Every generation feels like they have it worse. Why Gen Zers and millennials feel they have more struggles with money than their parents.
How much money would it take for you to ditch your phone for a month? The business that would pay you a five-figure sum and how it would ensure you couldn't cheat. Download the WRAL News app and get breaking news alerts, live streams, and weather forecasts right at your fingertips.
Little by little, we're getting warmer there. It's 46 degrees now in Wilson as we look live at the Whirligig Park. The Whirligig's there blowing a little bit in the breeze. You're watching WRAL News, available on Spectrum and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Nearly 40% of millennials and Gen Zers believe they face a more difficult time in building their wealth than their parents did at the same age due to the economy. In a report from Bankrate, more than a quarter of those age groups have considered or are pursuing alternative measures to grow their finances. These include asking for a raise or hunting for a new job. Younger generations are more likely to say they are contributing more to their retirement accounts. Former Meta Operating Chief Officer Sheryl Sandberg is leaving the company's board of directors. She made the announcement in a Facebook post on Wednesday. The 54-year-old joined Facebook in 2008 after spending about 7 years at Google. Sandberg announced her departure from Meta in mid-2022. And since leaving Meta, Sandberg has dedicated much of her time on her leanin.org nonprofit, which focuses on empowering women in the workplace and related projects.
Google's CEO is telling employees to expect more job cuts this year. Google has laid off over 1,000 employees across various departments since January 10th. The CEO says it was necessary because Alphabet and other tech firms went on a hiring spree during the COVID-19 pandemic boom. Now he says the company must eliminate thousands of positions as it shifts its AI goals for the year. If your travels take you to Las Vegas, there is one place you won't want to stop and take a picture on the Strip. A new ordinance took effect that prohibits people from stopping or standing on pedestrian bridges. Violators could face up to 6 months in jail or a $1,000 fine. The ban does not include standing or stopping if a person is waiting to use an elevator, stairway, or escalator.
For more than 50 years, a local nonprofit has been helping young people find the services they need to be successful. Coming up after the break, we'll tell you how you can help their mission expand.
And if you're looking for motivation to stay off your smartphone, one company thinks it can help. How about some cold, hard cash? We'll explain how it will track your progress. Compassion, commitment, and respect. Those are just a few of the core values of Haven House Services in Raleigh. For more than 50 years, Haven House programs help youth overcome challenges and find them a path to success. Patricia Cardoso oversees 10 programs as a COO at Haven House, and she joins us now live to share how you can help youth reach their full potential. Patricia, great to see you. Thanks for being with us. I've heard Haven House Services described as a place where youth who need help find it. So what kind of help and resources are offered?
Sure. So we are an organization that supports young people in Wake County. Our mission is to ensure that young people are safe, supported, and successful. And we do that by offering 10 programs that serve and help youth who are experiencing any kind of issues ranging from experiencing homelessness. They could be having challenges in their homes, schools, or communities. They might be involved with juvenile justice. These days also a lot of our youth are experiencing mental health challenges. So we are also providing mental health support in our programs.
And given those challenges, what's the current focus for this year for Haven House?
So our biggest focus right now is really expanding the mental health support that our young people have across all of our programs. Accessing mental health services right now is really challenging. Just trying to get an appointment anywhere in the community with a mental health provider can look like a 2-month to a 3-month wait. And, you know, when you need mental health support, you don't have 2 months or 3 months to wait. So really for us, we're building our capacity to provide our young people who need that support in-house. So that means we are focusing on hiring more clinicians and, again, trying to be as supportive as we can in that space.
Providing services in crisis and also long-term as well. Every young person has his or her own unique story. Explain some of the challenges that they face when they do seek help.
You know, I think sometimes it's how responsive organizations are when young people reach out for help. We really work hard that when young people reach out to us, that we respond as quickly as possible. So that means no wait times, you know, trying to answer the phone when they're reaching out and being there right at the moment that they need us. It's truly also understanding, listening and understanding what their needs are so that what we are providing in the way of support really matches what they need.
Patricia, really quickly, how can viewers help?
Sure. So visiting our website is a really great place to start. We are having a lot of issues right now with our young people and having food insecurity. So if you wanted to host a donation drive, that would be fabulous. You could reach out to our volunteer coordinator, who you can find on our website. You could also support us financially by becoming one of our donors, or you can reach out and see if you have a particular skill set that you think would be useful and helpful for our young people. You can reach out and talk to our volunteer coordinator to see if there's another way that you can volunteer with us.
And thank you to Haven House for providing all those services that our youth need. We appreciate you and hope folks can help. Patricia Cardosa with Haven House Services in Raleigh. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Blue skies behind us. We have temperatures a little bit on the rise. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRO Severe Weather Center. I think I have more blue skies than you do down there, but you're looking over Raleigh just like I am there.
It's just the angle of the camera.
At least we're out of the freezing temperatures.
Yes.
Now.
Well, you know, interestingly, because I pulled this up because we had a nice live view of our Fountain Mountain. And in the time that I walked from over there to over here, they moved the camera. But anyway, we're definitely looking at the blue sky out there. But boy, it was cold enough to have our Fountain Mountain, which is likely to last well into early next week. Our next rain chance, as we talked about earlier, will be tonight, looking at just some light showers, nothing that's likely to measure up too much in the rain gauge. It's probably going to be a quarter of an inch or less. Our temperatures are going to be above freezing for the most part, so we're not looking at any widespread wintry precipitation up near the Virginia line. It's a possibility, but the computer models have just really backed off of that, as we took a look at earlier. Take a look at the snow, though, that's back to the west. We're starting to see some of that moving into Tennessee. Changing over to a little wintry mix there across parts of Tennessee and even down into Mississippi, they're seeing a wintry mix. But we're going to see too much warmth streaming up with our cloud cover. We're starting to cloud up a little bit. Those clouds will continue to thicken up. We're looking at our temperatures right around 50 for the high this afternoon. By 4 o'clock, we'll start to drop it on back through the 40s. So we're going to take a look at the temperatures and the precipitation together at the same time so you can see why it just doesn't look like much of anything is going to be frozen. At about 6 o'clock, Roxborough at 39, maybe seeing a little bit of light patchy rain. We move it southward at 7 o'clock. We're still well above freezing. And then 33 degrees there at 9 o'clock, 38 in Raleigh, 36 in Rocky Mount. That continues to move eastward. And Roxborough stays at 33 or 34 until the precipitation moves on out. And that will happen at around 6 a.m. At that point, Roxborough drops down to 32. Now, you could argue that there may be some wet conditions on the roads. But again, it's highly unlikely that temperatures will drop far enough for there to be any slick conditions on the roads either. Now, the mountains are another story. There's a winter weather advisory in effect for parts of our mountains, and they could see maybe several inches of snow, especially in the higher elevations. The higher you go, the better chance that you might see some snow. So if you're looking for some, this could be a weekend for it. However, it is going to be very, very cold, especially on Saturday. with some potentially single-digit high temperatures in Boone. Take a look at our drought status. It comes out on Thursdays, and it just keeps looking better and better. We still have a sliver of the mountains that are abnormally dry, but pretty much our entire viewing area is now out of abnormally dry conditions. Most of it was last week, but now we're officially completely drought-free. Look at this. The green-shaded area in our viewing area is anywhere from 140 to 160% of normal rainfall for the last 30 days. Our next big thing is going to be the fact that we see this giant cold air mass that drops in on us, another Arctic outbreak. Temperatures today, tomorrow, 52, but then we drop to 35 for the high on Saturday and 41 on Sunday. We have a few sprinkles on there for tomorrow morning, but that's going to be, again, out of here probably by the time we get to the morning commute. On Saturday, the wind chill could feel like 11, and Sunday it could feel like 8. And if you don't like it, hold on, because it is going to change. After our very cold weekend, we have 65 in our forecast for Wednesday. I wish I could say it would be bright and sunny, but it does look like it may be a little on the wet side.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Company is offering cool prizes to help people start new healthy habits this year and beyond. How a digital detox contest could pay big dividends.
And this could be a huge payoff for you if you match all the numbers. Here's a look at the winning Powerball numbers. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we are following today. At this hour, President Joe Biden is headed to North Carolina. We have a crew at RDU awaiting the arrival of Air Force One. The president is bringing his economic pitch to the triangle. Biden's team and Democratic strategists believe they have a chance to flip North Carolina blue for the first time in 16 years. We'll have live coverage of Biden's visit throughout the day.
It could be at least six more hours before thousands of Duke Energy customers have power. Duke says the outage in Durham is due to equipment issues at a substation that happened during maintenance. The power company is bringing in specialists to help the crews that are already working and some special equipment today to help with bringing that power back.
For the second day in a row, Durham parents were asked to drive their students to school. More DPS bus drivers and employees called out, protesting salary changes. Frustrated workers met with district leadership for 2 hours this morning. Durham Public Schools confirms 10 schools needed coverage for nutritional services today after people called out, and they say all of them were covered.
NFL divisional games are this weekend, and we have you covered. On Saturday, Green Bay will play San Francisco. You can watch that action on Fox 50 at 8 p.m. Then on Sunday, tune in to WREL, where Tampa Bay will take on the Detroit Lions at 3 p.m.
A dairy company is offering big bucks to customers who are willing to do a digital detox for 1 month. Siggy's Dairy will choose 10 people based on essays. Now, to make sure that these people don't cheat, the company will send them a lockbox and a flip phone with a prepaid SIM card good for a month. If they successfully complete the challenge, each can receive $10,000 and 60 cups of Siggy's yogurt.
Pet of the daytime right now. This one comes to us from Hope Animal Rescue, and this is Mo, a 12-year-old Chihuahua mix. He is the perfect senior sidekick. Despite being a little bit older, Mo is an absolute gem. He has a heart full of love to share and is ready to steal yours. Contact Hope Animal Rescue for information on how to make Mo part of your family.
Deadly winter weather has hammered almost 80% of the U.S. population since the start of the new year. Today at 4, we look at the financial costs that come with these frigid temperatures and dangerous storms.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes as we watch the tarmac for the landing of Air Force.